The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
For Hetrei Iska, loans and collections, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Parashas Behar. The Torah, in this week's parasha, says, Al tikach mi itoy neshech v'sarbis v'yareisa mi alikecha v'cheyachicha imach. The Torah commands us with the love of not taking ribis. The Torah says a person, a yid, that lends money to another yid must lend him money without charging interest. It has to be interest-free. And if he does charge interest, the lender and the borrower are both over violate an aveir of ribis. The aveir of ribis, Chazal tell us, is a very chomor dike aveira in a foreign inner litchias hamesim, and it is also a very common scenario that falls into the category. There are many common scenarios that fall into the category of ribis. Ribis has many forms and shapes. The halachas are long and intricate, and it is part of daily life that we're always doing business transactions, whether it's on a large scale or on a small scale, such as just friendly business. Nevertheless, we are doing business, and doing business comes, so many cases come and fall into the categories of ribis. Bearing that in mind, I would like to dedicate today's shiur to the topic of the aveira of ribis. I am going to take out one case that has many common applications and focus on that case. But really, there are many cases that involve ribis. There are so many different scenarios that involve ribis. And really, it's worthwhile for everyone to become familiar with the halachas of ribis, so that they are not nichshal in the aveir of ribis. And let's begin. Today we'll talk about the problem of ribis with sales that are undone. And this itself comes in two forms and is found in two places in Shulchan Aruch. What it means in essence is, if let's say you buy something and for some reason or other the sale is able to become retroactively nullified, so when the sale is nullified, so the seller gives back the money and gets back the item, and the sale is undone, the sale is brought back to the original state. However, in the interim, during that time, from when they thought the sale was a sale, at that time the buyer was using the item, he was benefiting from the item. So if you look at it from a halachic cook, from a halachic angle, so then you'll see how there's an issue of ribis. In essence, what happened is, until the sale was nullified, the buyer gave the seller money, which, in retrospect, was really only a loan. So the buyer really loaned money to the seller. And because, or at the same time, that the buyer lent money to the seller, he also got benefit from the seller. So later on, when the buyer got his money back, at the end of the day, the end result is that the buyer got his money back, the money that he loaned, he got back, and he also still has the benefit that he had from using the item in the interim. Like we said, this comes up in two scenarios, which is really two halachas in Shulchan Aruch. Let's start with one. One case is the halacha in Choshe Mishpat, Simin Reish Lamed Beis, which is the halacha of a Mekach Tos. Let's say you have that you go to a store and you buy a computer. It turns out that the computer was faulty. The computer had something wrong with it, with the way it was set up. It had to be returned. There was nothing there really to buy. So the buyer takes it back to the seller, and the seller refunds him all the money. Meanwhile, the buyer had been using the computer, although it wasn't completely functional. It was partially functional. Lemaisa, the buyer had benefit from the computer for as many days as he had it. So it comes out that now, when the buyer returned the computer, he got his money back, the money he lent. In essence, he lent the money to the seller, and the money, and besides for getting his money back from the seller, he also had benefit for 5 or 10 days, whatever amount of time it was, when he was able to use the computer. So that should be a problem of ribis. And Shulchan Aruch, in fact, says that he's obligated to pay for the benefit that he had for using the thing that this Mekach Tos about. The Shulchan Aruch here actually is talking about karka. This is a discussion maybe doesn't apply to metaltolin. We're going to leave that nekuda out for now. And that's one case where you could have that it's that there's a problem of ribis because a sale was nullified. And that is a case of Mekach Tos, when there was a blemish in the item that was bought. Another case, which is in Shulchan Aruch also, it's in Shulchan Aruch, Yeredeh, Simen Kufay, Indalit, Sif Aleph. Here Shulchan Aruch talks about, let's say, the seller and buyer made up, they made a condition. Let's say the seller sold an item, he sold a car, and he said, I'm selling you the car until I get money. Once I get money, then I'm buying it back and it will be undone. The whole sale will be undone, will be nullified retroactively. So in such a case, says the Shulchan Aruch, in the chance that the seller is going to buy back the item from the buyer, it's going to come out that the buyer really lent money to the seller. And besides for getting his money back from the person that borrowed the money, the lender, besides for getting his money back, he also got benefits from the item. He also was able to use the car for however many days it was. Memela, says Shulchan Aruch, it's a problem of ribis. Memela, strictly speaking, it would seem that these types of cases are right away a problem of ribis and they have to be avoided. So you might think that these cases are far-fetched and not so common, but actually they're probably a lot more common than you may think at first glance. In today's world, in sales, so many situations, it's just we live in a world of returns, especially in the big stores, but even in smaller stores, it's common that you accept returns, that many stores have policies of return policies, and they accept people, they allow people to return the item. And based on what we said before, it would come out a big michshel of ribis. It would be a big shail of ribis. If let's say you go to a Yiddish store and you bought a mixer and the store has a return policy within 10 days, you could return the item and get a full refund. So such cases, if the store allows a return, if it's a Jewish-owned store and they allow a return, so then it's a shaila, it's a discussion, whether there's ribis. We'll see if there are ways to get around it. But the haschala is, the pashtus is that there should be a iser of ribis. Perhaps there's a way out that it's not ribis. But the pashtus is that there would be a ribis, because when you return the mixer, in essence, you are undoing the sale. Retroactively, you're undoing the sale, which makes it be that the money was a loan, and you had a benefit besides for getting back the money of your loan. That's one case. And what about another case? Let's say somebody bought a used car, and in the end, there was something faulty with the car, and there, not just a store that allows returns is going to take it back. The store will be, the seller will be obligated to take this car back. If it's a real mum, if it falls into the halachas of mekach tos, the seller is obligated to take it back. But even though the seller is obligated to take it back, that doesn't mean that he can't charge you for the usage. Strictly speaking, the pashtus, until we'll get to explain further, is that on a superficial level, l'chayra, there should be a problem of just undoing the sale and ignoring the fact that the buyer used the item. In other words, this buyer who bought the car, which turned out to have a mum, although he would get his money back for what he spent to purchase the car, he would return the car and get his money back, but he would still have to pay for the amount of days, for whatever it's worth, the value of that he was able to use the car for however long he used the car. And that's what would seem on the most basic level according to Allah. And you may be thinking to yourself, who thinks of this? Who actually pays for this? And Mimela, is there any way out? Is it true that all cases are prohibited? And that's what I'd like to get to in this year. So, for starters, there are three ways that it's for sure not a problem. Number one, if they wrote a Hatter Iska, so then, if the Hatter Iska is executed in a proper way, so that, like most cases of ribis, Hatter Iska could here also get rid of the problem of ribis. It's beyond the scope of this year to explain how to make a Hatter Iska for this and what are the conditions of the Hatter Iska, but there are ways to make a Hatter Iska to avoid this. However, every Hatter Iska has to be executed properly. But most importantly for this discussion, it's only going to work a Hatter Iska if they made the Hatter Iska initially. It only works if the store owner has already posted up in a conspicuous place where everyone could see that he has a Hatter Iska, or they signed in the contract, in the bill of sale, it says that they had a Hatter Iska, and the whole sale was based on the Hatter Iska. That any returns are based on the Hatter Iska. But if they come to the aftermath, and they come to the time of return, and now they deal with how to rectify the situation, how to deal with this situation, how they're going to pay or not pay for the usage, for that, it's too late to have a Hatter Iska. So that is a solution, but it doesn't work for many cases. Another case where it's not a problem is if the person never paid for the item. So, if the seller sold it on credit, and the buyer never paid for it, so then of course there's no problem. Our whole problem only gets off the ground because the buyer laid out money, the buyer paid for the item. So he was lending money retroactively. It comes out that the buyer was lending money to the seller. But if he never paid, so then there was never a loan. And then of course there's no issue of whether he has to pay for the usage. And the third case where it's not a problem is of course if he'll pay for the usage. In a chanami, if the buyer will taka pay the seller for the usage of the item, then of course that will resolve the whole issue of the ribbis. A grada, when he does pay for the usage, he has to make sure to deduct the usage. He should not go ahead and first undo the sale and only afterwards pay for the usage, because it would come out that if he does that first he paid the ribbis and then he returned the ribbis. A person has to be careful not to pay the ribbis in the first place. So if they do that, they have to make sure they deduct the usage. They have to deduct the amount of the usage was from the buyback price that the seller is paying the buyer. Now, like we mentioned, usually these three solutions are not applicable, and therefore our question is, what hatter is there? Is there any way out? Is there any way to explain how, when people have returns and they allow people bought an item and they allow the person to return it, either if it was faulty or if it wasn't faulty, they allow the person to return it and they give them a full refund. So is there any way how we could explain that such a thing is permitted? So, like we said before, we said initially, there's really two different types of cases of where we have this problem. One is a case when the store allows returns, even if the item was never a blemished item. And one is when it was a mekach tos, one is when the item was a blemished item, was a faulty item. So we're going to divide them again into two categories and give different atayrim for the different categories. So let's start with mekach tos. Again, somebody bought a car, and there was something wrong with the car, enough so to make it be a mekach tos, and it's beyond the scope of this shir to go through all the halachas of mekach tos. It's really a big sugya, and quite often it requires the psak of a paisik to determine whether it's actually a mekach tos. Be that as it may, in a case when it is a mekach tos, is there any way to avoid the problem of ribbis when the seller refunds the buyer the full amount without deducting for the usage? So, if the seller sold a faulty item on purpose, he knew about the blemish, and he was trying to pull a trick on the buyer, so then the paiskim say there wouldn't be any problem of ribbis. So we hope that most cases we're discussing are not referring to such a case. We hopefully, in the standard case of mekach tos, the seller simply didn't know, didn't realize that there was something wrong. He wasn't trying to do gneivas das. He wasn't trying to steal. He just didn't realize that it had a blemish. Both parties did not realize they had a blemish later on when they discovered they're undoing the sale. But if the seller was amazed, although he violated the aver of gneivas das, but the problem of ribbis won't be a problem. And that is, since the seller was stealing, in essence, the seller was stealing the money. What's the whole problem of ribbis? The whole problem of ribbis is the fact that in essence, the buyer was really lending money to the seller. But we can only call it a loan. We can only call it a loan if it's something that's beheter. If the seller had no right to even attempt to make this sale, so then, rather than calling the money that the buyer gave to the seller as a loan, it would be called mois gezel. It would be called stolen money. And the rule is that on gezel, there's no aveir of ribis. So such a seller would have a worse problem, that he has a gezel problem. But the lesser problem, a ribis derabbanon, would not be involved. So lemaisa, the buyer would not have to pay for the usage. But as we said before, hopefully that's not the case. In the case when the seller was mistaken, was a shaygig, did not realize about the mum, so the question is there any way to explain why there wouldn't be ribbis for not paying for the usage? And on that we find a heter that poiskim say, many different svarim say it, that if it's a small amount, we're talking about a relatively small amount of money, a value that we're dealing with for the usage. So then we're able to explain that the reason why the seller is moichel the money from the buyer, the reason why the seller does not charge the buyer for the usage, is because he's trying to give a courtesy. He wants to give a courtesy to the buyer to be mefayis him. He wants to appease the buyer. He realizes the buyer is upset that he went through extra tircha of buying something and having to return it. And because of that, as a courtesy, for good public relations, he wants to go ahead and be moichel the amount that the usage costs. So although theoretically the buyer should pay for the usage, the seller is moichel the usage. And since it's logical that a seller would give such a common courtesy, so therefore we don't look at it like the money, like the mechila, relates to the loan. What's the problem? The problem is, what's the problem in the first place? The problem is that in essence, now that the sale is nullified, now that retroactively the sale was nothing, so really the buyer, in essence, was loaning money to the seller. And now at the end of the loan, the seller is returning the money, and besides for that, the buyer also got a usage in the interim. So, kipshuta, you say, that extra usage is extra and it relates to the loan. It's like something that it's extra benefit that connects to the loan. Because the buyer lent money to the seller, so therefore the seller doesn't charge him for the usage. However, we could look at it from another angle and say that since the seller caused an unwanted tircha to the buyer by that the buyer had to buy an item and find that it had a mum and deal with the whole situation, there was a lot of tircha involved, so it's a common courtesy, it makes sense, it's logical that the seller should go and be moichel that money unrelated to the loan. Memela, it's permitted. So that's what many poskim say. There's numerous svarim that write about this. I can just list off. There's one sefer brings it out from Ibn Nisim Kerelet. There's a Nisiva Shalom. There's a Chalkas Ben Yamin about this. There's a Mishnas Ribis about this. Many, many svarim say this heter. However, I believe that you could only say such a heter when the amount of money was minimal. You could only say that it's common courtesy because to pay the buyer for the extra tircha that he had is only when it's a minimal benefit. If the amount of benefit was very large, was a large scale, then it may be difficult to say that it's a mechila just because of common courtesy. I mean, everything has to be judged based on how big of a business deal they were doing and how big of a tircha was involved. But just to give an example, if it wasn't such a big tircha and he was able to use a car for 6 months, so the value of usage of a car for 6 months is quite great, and it's not, you can't say that it's so simple that it's a common courtesy to be meichel for the usage of a car for 6 months just because the person went through a small tircha. And so therefore you have to use seichel when you could apply this heter. But for many cases, a person could apply this heter, that if it was just common courtesy to be meichel for usage, being that the buyer suffered an extra tircha, so then it's considered that it's just common courtesy, unrelated to the loan, and it won't be a problem of ribbis. So that's for the case of mekach tos. Such a heter would not work if it's returns. Take for example, like we said before, somebody went to a store and they bought a machine, a computer, and the store says, no matter what, whether there's a problem with it, whether there's no problem with it, we accept returns within this amount of time. If you want, you could return it. So in such a case, you can't say that the being meichel, the value of the usage is because of a courtesy. There's no reason the buyer in such a case did not suffer any loss. It was his own choice to return it. So there you can't, what do you have to say to explain why the buyer does not have to pay for his usage? So there is a heter in a case that only the buyer is able to undo the sale, which is the common case in returns, that if you have the following two conditions, that A, it's a buyback. It's set up in a way that not the pshat that the sale is undone. Rather, the pshat is, right now, the buyer is buying it back from the one who originally bought it. And together with the fact that it was only the buyer that had the ability to back out of the sale, the seller never had the option to decide that he's going to undo the sale. It was only the buyer's option to undo the sale. So in such a case, Paiskim say, then you don't have to pay for the usage. Another way the Paiskim say is that if they agree, then in case the price will change, they're buying it back at whatever the new price is. The only way the person could return the item is that if in case the price will change, the seller is going to go ahead and buy it back at whatever the new price is. Now, this second heter is not so common. Usually, whenever they allow returns, they're going to refund the money, whatever the price was originally paid. Mainly, the second heter would not be a common heter. The first heter, perhaps, could be set up, that it's a buyback, and commonly it's only the buyer that's able to return it. However, like we said, it has to be set up that it's a buyback rather than a return, rather than retroactively undoing the sale. So, as we mentioned, let's summarize now the different heterim that we mentioned. As we mentioned, if they set up a heter iska, it won't be a problem. If the buyer never paid for it, it's also not a problem. If they deduct the usage, then fashteitzach, there's no problem, because then the buyer is actually paying for the usage. Our whole problem was that the buyer is not paying for the usage. If they deduct the usage, so then of course they don't have any problem. We said if it's a mekach taos, and it's a courtesy, if either the seller was amazed, or it's a minimal amount, so then we can say that it's because of a courtesy, and that would be a heter. And if it's returns without a mekach taos, so then it would have to be either that it's a buyback and set up that it had, that it's a buyback, whatever the new price, whatever the current price is, or that it's a buyback and it's only the buyer that's able to buy it back. So we mentioned many heterim. However, sometimes the heterim aren't applicable. Sometimes there's no heteriska. Sometimes the person did pay and they're not deducting the usage. And sometimes it's, let's say, a mekach tos, and it's more than the courtesy, or it's a return, and they never set up that it's a buyback. And in such cases, a person should really ask a shaila if there's another way to have a heter that it shouldn't be an issue of ribbis. And everybody should ask their competent halachic authority if perhaps there's another way out, but it's something a person should bear in mind with returns, whether it's the seller that allows returns, whether it's the buyer that's making the returns. They should be conscious with this problem of ribbis.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.